Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Everybody have a good week? Everybody have a card? Okay, here's your activity for today. And this is a good one because you don't have to talk to anybody. This one you don't have to talk to anybody. But you do have to be honest. Because it's about you and Jesus and He knows. So He's watching what you write down. Okay, here is your first thing. Now there's two sides to the card, okay? So, whatever side you write this on, flip it over. That'll be the second half of this sun. Everybody got a pen and paper? Does your pens work? Make sure the pens work. I scribbled on some paper to make sure most of the ones I brought. Hopefully they do work. Okay. First question. Now listen carefully. How much you're going to write down a number on this side of the index card, and you can do it in quarter hours, you know, 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, 1, so on. Just a guesstimation. And we're not going to pass these in, so no one's going to see this. This is only for you. During the week, how much time do you spend with you and Jesus and your Bible and nothing else? No DVD, no other book, no MP3 message. Just you and your Bible and Jesus. And calculate that, kind of estimate that, and just write a number down that side. Nobody look over at your neighbors to see how you're faring. It's nobody else's business except yours. Okay, everybody done? Remember, it doesn't count book reading, MP3 listening. It's just you, Jesus, and your Bible. Nothing else. Okay, turn your card over. On this side, and I have to apologize, I thought these had lines and they don't. So, do the best you can. Writing. If you're like me, it'll start here and end up down here. But try to write as straight as you can. On this side, what you're going to do is you're going to write down, fill up the front side of the card, as soon as it actually comes up on your screen. You're going to elaborate on how much Jesus loves you in non-church language. This will be probably what you've gotten as you've spent time with Him, with your Bible, and you together with Him. So begin to elaborate on that. And you're going to write normal size. Don't write in the size that you're visually impaired, just so you can fill it up. Because you're going to want to try to fill that card up from top to bottom. If you can't, that's fine. But begin to write what comes to you. Ask the Lord to tell you how much He loves you, remind you of some things you've read in your Bibles, and just begin to fill up that card. And write it in the first person. Don't say, well, I know God loves Dan, such and such. You just fill it up and begin to communicate on this side of the card how much Jesus loves you in non-church language. Don't give me, well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Don't, not that. That's not first person. You need to write down what you've gotten out of His Word with Him alone, how much He loves you directly. And you're trying to fill up the entire card. Writing normal. Okay. So, how many... Don't raise your hand, just... How many found it challenging to write this stuff down? Well, I mean, you know... Because a lot of folks find it challenging to write down how much God loves them directly. It shouldn't be. But sometimes it is. And the reason I said use non-church language and don't parrot what you heard on a... Well, I didn't say that, but, you know, spending time with the Lord, I mean, spending time with Him, with your Bible and nothing else. No MP3, no DVD, no book. Because a lot of folks associate that as their time with the Lord, and that's not. You're using a surrogate. Nothing wrong with those things, except for when you think that's time with the Lord, because it's really not. It's kind of like having visitation rights, but you have a social worker present all the time, so you never get any alone time. Okay, so let me ask you a question. I mean, and For those of you that didn't, we're not able to think of enough content to fill up the card. If you look at the back of your page, your the other side of your index card, and you look at the number you wrote down there, do you think it's possible that if that number was increased, the other side of that card would be fuller? The answer is probably yes. Okay. Here's why we did that. Notice in 1 John 4, verses 8, 16 and 19 says this. Verse 8 says, "Those who are loved by God, let His love continually pour from you to one another. Because God is love, everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences," everybody say experiences,
experience,
"an intimate knowledge of Him." Now, I think it's fascinating that, you know, a lot of years when I was coming into the knowledge of the gospel, and I read the verses, and I every time you read in your Bible something that says about knowledge of Him, we automatically read this just like it's worded. But we read it, we translate the word "of" to "about." So when we read verses that talk about the knowledge of Him, we read it the knowledge about Him. But that's not what that word "of" means. That word "of" is speaking of the origin of something. So really that word "of" is not the word "about" at all. It's the word "from." So what this verse is saying is, those who are loved by God, let His love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge from Him. Now, if you have blood coursing through your vein, you're an everyone. Right? You wouldn't believe how many people have tried to tell me that somehow verses that are in everybody's Bible somehow just don't apply to them. because it just doesn't work that way. This Bible, it's pretty broad, and it pretty much hits every human being that's breathing, ever has breathed, or will breathe. How many know Jesus knows how a human being is wired? And he knows how the communication interaction between heaven and you is. So if the Holy Spirit says that those that are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because everyone who is loved is fathered, everyone who is loving is fathered by God and is experiencing an intimate knowledge from him, then that pretty much tells you how the system is set up. Verse 16 says, we've come into an intimate experience, everybody's experience, with God's love, and we trust in the love that he has for us. See, part of what you wrote down, or what you wrote down on that card, is really what you trust in his love for you. Right? John says, we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God is living through them. Look at verse 19. Our love for others is our grateful response. Everybody say, my grateful response. To the love God first demonstrated to us. So if you look at your card and you see and you wrote down what you've written, and I realize it's a summary version, but do you love other people that much? Because this verse is saying that our love for others is a grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. And just to show you that verse 8 is talking about everyone who is loving is being fathered by God and is experiencing an intimate knowledge that's coming from him. If we jump over to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it says that if anyone is loving God, the NASB says he is known by him. But in the original Greek text, it literally is in the passive environment, and it is really reads is receiving. Everybody said receiving, being known by. Everybody said that receiving, being known by him. Everybody know what that means? So John and Paul are saying the same thing. That this is why it's so crucial that you spend time with him with no surrogates, your Bible and him, and you spend time with him. And it's not like the last 10 minutes of your day, but you spend time with him. Because something and somebody is speaking into your life, whether you realize it or not. Something or somebody is speaking into your life. Is it him? Because he wants to. And what he speaks into your life and what you receive and what, like John, we've known and believed and we trust the love he has for us. When you come to that place and you can articulate. See, if you keep these cards and you'll spend time with him and you'll build on what you wrote. And if the card's too small, then go get a piece of notebook paper. But you keep that, and then every time you feel like you're getting beat up, go back to that piece of paper, go back to that card, and you begin to read to yourself how much God, Jesus loves you. You say, that's corny, I'm a dude, I don't do that. Pretty much tough. You're a human being just like anybody else. Just because we're male and they're not, doesn't mean we don't have emotions. It doesn't mean you can't get beat up by life. Holy Spirit is telling you, if you become familiar and spend time with him long enough, you'll come to the place where you just won't get offended. Amen. You won't. You just won't get offended. Because you've allowed him to speak into your life so long that you become Teflon when it comes to being offended. You just don't. So whatever we feed into our life, whoever's speaking into our life the most, the loudest, is really what you're building your life from and how we're going to love someone else. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, Paul says, but in case I'm delayed, I write this to you that so you'll know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God. Everybody say the household of God. Okay, the household of God is speaking of the local church. If you'll read the letter of 1 Timothy, you'll realize that that's exactly what he's speaking about. And I'm not talking about a building, but I am talking about the relationships. They can be in a building. Even in Timothy's day, they were in buildings. They were just smaller buildings. Right? So he's saying, in case I'm delayed, I'm writing this to you so that you'll know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Everybody say living. The pillar and the support of the truth. Now, it's not the living God that's the pillar and the support of the truth. It's the local church, the household of God, that is the pillar and the support of the truth. Now, I want you to think about this. First of all, it says he calls him a living God. That means he says stuff, right? That means there's interaction with him. He's not way out there somewhere, never talks to you. But notice it also says that the local church, the household of God, the local church, is the pillar and the support of the truth. When you have to build a house, what do you do first? Don't say, I go to the city and get the plans. No. Count the cost. Yes, that's true. That's a good one. But before you physically start building, what do you have to do? You said, what is it? That's a rock, man. You got a rock. I totally forgot I had these over here. Just so you know, if anybody has a pacemaker, don't go do this. Because they're magnets, okay? So if you hold on to these and you collect a bunch of them, you can build a nice little house. Because why? Because we're all living stones built upon... Yes. Okay. But when you build a house, you have to build a foundation first, right? And the bigger the building, the bigger and the deeper the foundation goes, right? So whatever's in the foundation affects what's in the rest of the house, right? Have you ever seen a house built on a foundation that's as thick as your patio? About 3 inches. You ever seen any kind of foundation like that? I haven't. I'm just saying they probably wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't they do that? Because the integrity of the foundation is bad. And it'll affect the rest of the house. So if Paul is saying that the local church, the household of God, is the pillar and the support of, I'm going to say the support of the truth, then that would have to say that if we're going to have an organism or authentic community that, quote, is the environment of the love of God, then you probably would have that as an individual in you, right? I said, right? You would probably be able to articulate from your often times with him how much he loves you, right? See, this is a challenge that we have as local churches because so much of the time this is the case. And it really, I mean, if we're the support of the truth, then in order to build something that represents who he really is, it has to go down to the very fabric of the building, which would be you. That's why God says you, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Why? Because then because the reason you're doing that is because he loved you first. And you've chosen to know and believe the love he has for you. And as John says, we love because he first loved. Right? So, Then the next commandment is just the same. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? And again, I say, unfortunately, that's what we do. And the challenge with that is because we don't spend time with Him, because we're too busy. I'm not saying everybody, I'm just making general statements here. Because we're too busy, our schedule's too much, we have too much to do, we can't do this, we have this, that, and the other. Fill in the blank. Understand that every time you say that, every time you make a reason why you don't spend time with Him, you don't allow Him to spend time with you and speak into your life, it is affecting the foundation of the building He's trying to build. Because you're not allowing. Everything else is still going to speak at you. Everything. It's still going to speak at you. It's constantly on all the time. So we have to make sure that He is the loudest one and the most persuasive one in our life. We spend time with Him. We let Him tell us how much He loves us. We come to the place where we've so submitted ourselves to that voice that we know and believe the love God has for us. We come to a place where we literally, it causes us to be Teflon. We do not get offended. From that, He builds a house that creates an environment that represents Him accurately. Because we are a support and a pillar of the truth. So whatever's true in the building has to be true in the foundation. Amen? I love what the Message translation says. It kind of brings out the whole. It says, you'll know how things ought to be, ought to go in God's household. This God alive church. Everybody say God alive church. Well, the only way we're going to have a God alive church is if you have a God alive life. You might as well say amen. That's the only way. If God's a concept to you and it's a word on a white piece of paper, that's not God alive, that's God in print. That's a theological idea. God alive says things. God alive interacts with you. John said that God alive causes you and Him to experience things together. So the Message Bible says that Paul wrote these things so that you'll know how things ought to go in God's household, this God-alive church, the bastion of truth. 1 Peter, Peter says it like this. He says, above all, constantly echo God's intense love. Now, for one another. Now, that's part of the verse. I wanted you to focus on that part of the verse. I realize there's more to it, but I wanted you to focus on that part of the verse. Above all, constantly echo God's intense love. I've heard people say that, you know, we don't want to be an echo, we want to be a voice. I get what they're saying. Except in this situation, we want to be an echo. But you're going to echo what you get. Whatever is loudest speaking in your life, that's what you're going to echo to somebody else. God wants you to echo Him, but in order to echo Him, He has to be the predominant voice and persuasion in your life. When you spend time with Him, can we just put something to bed once and for all? When you spend time with Jesus, the result of that is not condemnation and you feeling bad. You might as well say, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because if that's what's happening, you ain't listening to Him. Because He is so thrilled about you. He is so into you. He so wants you to end up where He sees. He so wants you to take a hold of and say like John, I know and believe the love God has for me. So He's saying as a result of that environment between you and Him personally, He wants you to constantly echo God's intense love for one another. Notice Colossians. Now that you've embraced new creation life, as the true reality, lay aside your old Adam self. Now I call it the natural man, but I like this word. I've been trying to find different ways to express this. And he says, your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. Everybody say masquerade and disguise.
Masquerade.
Now, these are two elements that are absolutely 100% against authentic community. But then again, we can't really establish authentic community if we're all just going to be satisfied to walk in our own natural Adam self. None of this Bible applies to you if you're going to choose to walk in your old Adam self, natural man, except for all the junk that you don't want. But notice he says, now that you've embraced the new creation life. Notice that wasn't a question. Notice it didn't say if. Did you notice that? Did you notice that words mean things? Now that you've embraced the new creation life as the true reality. So you're spending time with the Lord. You're spending time in your Bible and you're reading your New Testament. You know, not that you can't read the old either, but just you're spending time in the letters that the Holy Spirit wrote through Peter, Paul, and John. And so it's rubbing off on you. You're starting to see things in the Word. It's just blowing your mind. And slowly but surely, your old Adam self is getting smaller and smaller, less and less influence. You're starting to show it less and less regard. And now that you've embraced this new creation life as the true reality, you come to the place where you lay aside your old Adam self with the masquerade and disguise. Because all of the... Have you ever been in the presence of somebody and it's like everything that's being done is completely just not... It's just not even real. We're putting on a facade. We're hiding behind a mask. So I just described a lot of church environments. Why is that? Because they haven't made the shift from the old Adam self, that's A-D-A-M hyphen S-E-L-F, the natural man, to their new creation life. But that's the only place that phoniness comes from. So if we're having a challenge with authentic community, then we have to realize that there is an element still in that environment that is still coming from people's old Adam self, or you could say Adamic, or you could say natural man. And as long as that's in there, all it has the ability to produce is masquerade and disguise. You know why? Because your natural man doesn't spend time with him. The only thing your natural man has speaking into it is all the darkness can pump. All the negativity, all the condemnation, all the fear, all the self-loathing, all that garbage. That's all the natural man has speaking to it. So if we want to eliminate that mess, did you notice that some of the songs we sang this morning talked about the reality of being set free from shame? Isn't it amazing that we can sing that in a song, walk out the front door, and it's no more a part of our life than the minute we put the period on that sentence in that sanctuary? Why is that? Well, because you shifted. You made a shift back into your natural man. You are set free from shame. You are set free from condemnation. Not as a theological idea that you can hoop it up on Sundays, but as a reality. But you'll never set foot over there if you don't spend time with Jesus and let Him speak into your life and be the loudest voice in your life. He needs you to do that so that you will in turn know and believe the love He has for you, bring you to a place of being Teflon, so that you can turn around and as much as you declare He loves you, you love someone else the same way. If there's a short circuit anywhere between how you say He loves you and how you love other people, you're still in your Adamic self. Because that's the only place that there is anything that's a masquerade or disguise. Notice what verse 10 says. For your new creation life is continually being renewed. Everybody say continually. Do you know, I've literally had people tell me, nobody here, but I've had people tell me in my lifetime, yeah, well, I spend time with God and nothing changes. Is that accurate? I mean, really, seriously, is that accurate?
No.
You're calling the Holy Spirit a liar. Does the word Sapphira mean anything to you? Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's just not accurate. What was that?
It's just that it doesn't move as fast as our perception thinks it should go, you know?
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
Right.
It's like, why am I still going around this mountain?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, as long as we stay in that place, they're just continually going back to Him. I mean, how many times do we see in your Bible that Jesus went and got away from everybody else and went to go spend time with Daddy? Sometimes you just got to turn it all off, get away, and say, I'm going to spend time with my Daddy. You know, that's your, Psalms 91 calls that your secret place. We got to have it. We got to have that secret place. Because the new creation life is continually being renewed. So if you'll continually go back to that place, you know, I love it on computers. It's become very handy in my life. That there's a restore setting on your computer. I've gotten to a place sometimes where something went so wrong that if I didn't have the restore button to go back and reset it back to a certain time and date, I would have never got back what I lost. Sometimes we need that restore button in your life, which is you going back and spending time with Him so that He can hit reset and all the mess that tried to pile on your life comes off your life and you get reset back to your true place of origin. Because the new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. Now watch this. This is amazing. Verse 11. In this new creation life, I love this. This is probably my favorite verse in the whole entire New Testament. Right here. In fact, it's so fun. It's so good. Let's read it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, read. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Your ethnicity, education, or economic status, they matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything. Why? Because He lives in every one of us. Do you know how many things will be resolved in this nation alone? Not to speak of the entire world, but in this nation alone. If this verse was how people thought. How many know I didn't put this verse in your Bible? Okay, everybody that's listening, you heard that was complete silence. So everybody thinks that I wrote this verse in your Bible.
No, but you did change the words.
I didn't change the words at all. This is another translation.
Which translation?
The Passion Translation. I didn't alter any words. You look at any Bible, and they're all going to say the same stuff. Any Bible, this verse is going to say what it says. Do you know why this verse says this? Because the part of you, the Adam self, the natural man, that is anchored to nationality, anchored to ethnicity, anchored to education, anchored to economic status, or you could even say it this, anchored to gender, is your natural self, and that person's dead. Does the New Testament say, does the Holy Spirit say, does it not say that the old man died, the life that you now live is His life, right? What does that mean? I mean, it doesn't just say it one time, it says it a number of times all over the writings of the New Testament. All over the writings that Paul wrote, the letters he wrote, the letters. I mean, it's all over the place. Notice that what we saw in these verses in Colossians chapter 8, or chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, And then 11 is this, that anything that's inauthentic is rooted in your natural man. So you would think that, you know, if we were just living life as the new man, authentic community ought to be pretty easy. Right? I said, right? I mean, isn't this who we are? The new creation man? Because the only place inauthentic comes from is your natural man. But notice this too. Your revelation of God is rooted in your revelation of you inside of Him. He reveals who He is and how He thinks by revealing to you who you are in Him. You guys get anything out of this, or am I just talking to me? Now you understand why some people have such a twisted version of who God is. Because they never spend any time with Him. They spend time with somebody's thought. They've spent time with somebody's theological vantage point. And they've translated everything about them. And they basically say, this is the way God is. But that's just why there is no room for not spending time with Him. Because if He's not speaking into your life, He's not revealing to you who you are inside of Him and how much He loves you. And so therefore, you are not discovering who He really is. In Colossians, I won't get to all of them, obviously, for the sake of time. This is amazing. There are 9 prayers. Everybody say 9.
9.
There are 9 Holy Spirit-inspired prayers in the letter of Colossians alone. If you're curious, Colossae was located within the borders of Turkey. 9 of them. And what you're going to find as you go through these is you're going to find that there is a progression. Remember that foundation of the house? That we're the pillar and the support of the truth? You know, the King James says we're the ground of the truth. When we build a house, we build the foundation first. Whatever integrity breaches are in the foundation, it permeates through the whole entire house. But if the foundation is solid, then it's going to permeate through the entire house. You're going to find that the prayers that the Holy Spirit had Paul pray to this church and mention in this letter that we call Colossians, they begin. Notice it started in verse 1, it says this: from the first time we heard about your conversion until now, we faithfully prayed for you that you would access your destiny through all the treasures of your inheritance. Now, Colossians talks a lot about treasure. It talks about it in chapter 1, it talks about it in chapter 2, it talks about it in chapter 3, and I think it even brings it up in chapter 4. That treasure is what's on the inside of you. Remember last week? I said, remember last week? I may have no clue what we talked about last week. Well, you get a rock for that, because that was honesty. You know why? Because you weren't even here. I'm not giving very many rocks out today, man. So he prays, first of all, he said, we found out that about your conversion, and now we faithfully pray for you that you would access your destiny through all the treasures of your inheritance. There's the foundation right there. Stored up in the heavenly realm. Now, don't get confused, because the heavenly realm is inside of you. If you're a new man or a new woman, if you're the new creation man, if you're living in the new creation life, the heavenly is inside of you. Remember, Peter brought the same thing up. But notice where he goes from here. The very next prayer he prays, watch this. Colossians 1:9. Since we heard this about you, we've kept you always in our prayers that you would be filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure over your lives. Isn't it interesting that one of the first things he begins to pray over them as individuals, new creations in Jesus, is that they would be filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure over their life. This is why I had you take that piece of paper out of that index card and write down how much you know about how much God loves you, Jesus loves you. Because everything in your life, your impact in society, everything will have to do with you having a revelation of, and being filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure over your life. I'm sure you've met a few people that didn't have this revelation, and what did they spew over everybody else? How much God was dissatisfied with them, and how much they were, negativity. Why? Because it was just simply a fruit from what they've got in their own heart. But notice the very first thing, after he prays that they would fulfill their destiny, he prays that they would overflow with the revelation of how much God has pleasure over their life. So this sounds like a good place for everybody to start. Can you say authentic community? This will keep you out of inauthentic quick. Not because he points out all the bad stuff, but because you won't give your old natural man any voice at all, because you'll spend too much time with him. And he's going to constantly be verbalizing. Notice what he says. This is what you'll find. He tells you, he prays something over you, and then he tells you why he's praying it. So he prays here that you'd be filled with overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure of your life. Why? This will make you reservoirs for all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that your ability, according to the Spirit of God, your ability to be a recipient of and understand the wisdom and the understanding that comes from heaven, that it completely hinges on your revelation and realizing of His pleasure over your life? Is it possible that what the Holy Spirit is actually saying here is that if you don't allow your Father to speak over you and you take a hold of it? Now, look, it's one thing for Father to constantly be speaking things over to you and you be batting them back at Him. He doesn't always like ping pong too much. We're not talking about that environment, because that's nothing more than your natural man, your natural self doing that. That's not the environment we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that when He opens His mouth and begins to spend time with you and speak to you about how much He has pleasure over your life, it goes straight in and takes root. Paul is saying that environment is what unleashes in your life the ability to become a reservoir for the wisdom and spiritual understanding that comes from the throne room. Notice he goes on the third prayer. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good thing you do. Now, what if this verse, see, the natural man will read it like this, that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, and you better. Because you better be pleasing God in everything you're doing. What if the second part of this verse is simply a statement of fact? Because you're doing the first part. Because you are a reservoir for all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because you're filled to overflowing with the revelation of how much God has pleasure over your life. Do you see the progress? Do you see the house is being built? The foundation is the treasure that's on the inside of you. First prayer you prayed. Everything's going to come from that. Second prayer, pray that you'd be filled from overflowing from that treasure. Out from that treasure that's in there, you'd be filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure of your life. It brings you to a place of being a reservoir for all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then which affects your actions. So you begin to walk in the ways of true righteousness. True righteousness is you're not trying to earn daddy's anything. And as a result of you knowing and believing the love God has for you, you're just simply pleasing God in everything you're doing. Because it's just a byproduct of living in that place. And if you do this, and this is what Paul says, the Spirit of God says happens, then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to His life, maturing in the rich experience, everybody say experience, of knowing God in His fullness. Why would you know God in His fullness? Because you're allowing Him to show you who you are in Him, in your fullness. Can you say authentic community? Third prayer. We pray that you would be energized with all His explosive power from the realm of His magnificent glory. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, that's going to happen because you're out there walking around in the ways of true righteousness. You're not trying to be anything. You're not trying to do anything. You're just being His offspring. And you just open your mouth and He comes out. And when He comes out, His power is present. Why? Because His presence is present. Can you say the gospel of grace? As a result of this environment, notice what happens. You're filled with great hope and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you see the progression here? I mean, it's all in your Bible. There's nine prayers the Holy Spirit revealed how this life goes. Colossians 2, verse 3, my prayer for you all is that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven. Everybody say the comfort of heaven. Woven together into love's fabric. And then he talks about the certainty of your faith. I want to submit to you that the reason why we spent a number of weeks talking to you about what faith really is. How many can tell me what faith really is? Okay, that's a byproduct of faith. But what is faith really? What's real faith? What's that? Say that loud. You got a rock, buddy. Did you catch it? You're good. Faith is what Father uses to communicate to you what belongs to you. Faith and revelation are tied together. When revelation shows up, faith is there to tell you that what it's the evidence of things that are not seen with your natural eye, but they are there. And when faith shows up, He's telling you this belongs to you, take ownership. Then your believing is you took that baton of faith and you ran. You get another rock. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm sorry. That's why I don't play in the big leagues. Does that make sense? So I'll submit to you that in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, the comfort of heaven and being woven together into love's fabric is simply a result of recognizing the certainty of the faith that you're getting. Do you understand now why it's not something you have to muster up? How many have ever felt secure when you're trying to come up with faith on your own? No, there's no certainty there. You know why? Because that's not the system. That's your natural man trying to do something to make your feelings feel better. But everything comes out of that treasure. In another place in Colossians, he calls it that treasure chest. It's that place where revelation is wanting to be discovered. He says, he prays that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together into love's fabric, which is the result of the certainty of your faith, and give you access to all the riches of God as you what? As you what? How many times have we seen that word experience in this? So we're only on chapter 2. The revelation of God's great mystery, which is Christ unveiled within you. And there's other verses. There's other parts too. There it is, verse 3. It says, it's in that treasure, it's a spiritual wealth. It's in Him. It's hidden treasure waiting to be discovered. It's that treasure chest on the inside of you. Heaven's wisdom and... what's that next word? Heaven's wisdom and... endless. I like endless. The only time endless is not good is at a buffet. But endless riches of revelation knowledge. So we're going to stop there. There's a lot of other things to go. We'll hit some of the things later. But notice again, to go back and recap, he started off saying that the Spirit of God's desire is for you to be filled with overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure over your life. That verse almost feels wrong to religious people. Because they've been told that the whole purpose of having religion in your life is to straighten you out. I challenge you in the weeks to come, whatever you wrote down today, maybe turn it into a journal, and then every time you spend time with Him in His Word, with no surrogates, every time He shows you more things when you're reading along in His Word, write those things down and begin to build something that you can go back to when life tries to beat you up. I know my wife hates it when I talk like this, but it's not very Christian. But you need to go back, you need to find that journal, and you need to tell whatever is speaking into your life that shouldn't be there to shut the hell up. And then you begin to remind yourself, if you have to speak out loud, you begin to remind yourself of everything you've been writing down. Somebody else's life depends on you establishing that habit in your life. Amen. Because it'll blow your mind when you start realizing how much He is so overwhelmingly pleasurous, is that the word, of your life. How many got something out of this? Well, if nobody else did, I did. Amen. Everybody stand up. Father, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for not only the integrity of Your Word, but we thank You for the integrity of You. So much so that You even declared in Your Word that when someone comes to the place where life is beating them up and the loudest thing in their life is life and not Yours. And your word says that he calls it faithless, because faith has been squeezed out. It's not the loudest voice in the room. Revelation is not flowing. It is not given the place to show them what belongs to them. But You have said in Your Word that even when we are faithless, You remain faithful. You're just that good. Father, I would ask that You cause Your revelation to flow in this place. That we can take that step once and for all out of our natural man. We stop making excuses for our natural man, and it just ceases to be visible in our rearview mirrors. And You bring us into the reality of who You are by showing us who we are inside of You. And I just thank You, though, that this revelation will sweep this congregation, that we'll realize that there is no place I'd rather be than alone with You, with Your Word and Your Spirit, as You begin to father me. I ask that you'd stir that desire up in everyone that's hearing my voice, whether they're in this building or they're listening on the internet, that you would stir that desire up on the inside of them to allow you to create a secret place where you begin to cause things to be discovered, cause you to be discovered. And the end result is we love you, and then we turn around and love our neighbor because we really do love ourselves, because you first loved us. And we agree with you. And we'll radically alter the culture of a city and the nation and the world because we gave you first place. And everybody that agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.